Welcome to the Cup of Glow podcast, where each week we will connect, uplift, and promote people, places, and events in and around Tallahassee for you. I am your host, Gloria Darling, your community cheerleader, proud milestone diva, and advocate for women age 50 or better. I'm so glad you're here. Let's go! Grab your favorite beverage and join me on my virtual front porch as we start the show. I am so excited that Apostle Cheryl Williams is joining us today to continue our discussion on women leaders in the church. Apostle Williams serves at Imitators of God Ministries, Colossal Vivacious Church Incorporated, together with her husband, Senior Pastor Emmanuel Williams I. Together, they have a son, Emmanuel II. Though the call of God is apparent in her life, raising a God-fearing, educated, productive child infused with the Word of God and serving her husband is her primary focus. The Williams seek to exemplify strong family values, believing the church is only as strong as its families. My, Apostle Cheryl Williams, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks so much for taking the time to join us. I am truly excited. We are talking about women leaders in the church. But first, please explain, what's an apostle?
Well, an apostle is one who oversees the church. I serve alongside my husband, Emmanuel Williams, Apostle Emmanuel Williams. And so what we do, we go into territories, we build churches, we uplift churches as well, we encourage. We help leaders as well become the next generation leaders and also to build them up as well. So there are a lot of things that we do as an apostle. The Bible talks about the fivefold ministry. And so we have the apostles, we have the prophets, we have the evangelists, we have the teachers, and we have the prophets. And so here am I as an evangelist serving alongside my husband.
Well, you mentioned going into territories and helping to build other churches. What other territories have you gone into?
So currently we are in the Caribbean as well. We are helping people from Martinique, from Dominica, from the U.S. Virgin Islands as well. We support ministries as well alongside Africa. While we are not here on the grounds, we send money so that those ministries can be built up for the power of God. And so in Dominica, what we have partnered with other churches as well. And so in order not just in teaching and in training them, but also our finances as well, right? We need finances to build the kingdom of God. So Imitators of God Ministry, we are not just in Tallahassee. We are not just in America. We are throughout the world.
Very good. I am totally impressed. Oh my goodness. Now, when I was growing up, as a wee little thing, when I went to church, the pastor's wife was considered a first lady. But as time has passed, a pastor's wife is considered more than just a pretty lady sitting in the front pew. Do you consider your role more as a co-pastor or first lady? And what's the difference? What differentiates those two roles, if anything at all?
Well, as I said previously, I serve alongside my husband. So I see myself not just as a co-pastor. I serve in various capacities in the church as well. So while I am the lead with the women at the church, I see myself guiding them as far as the faith is concerned, being an example to them to see, although I'm young, right? We have so many people that are older than me, but you know, maturity and leadership, it's not about the age, right? It comes with your experience, the knowledge you have, what you can give to your congregants and to other people, not just your congregants, but what you can give in the community and to the world. And for me, I see myself as a first lady, guiding them, but also helping my husband in whatever capacity that is needed in the body of Christ. The first lady is no longer sitting on the pews with the big hat, you know, with the long dresses. It's no longer about that. It's about trying to win souls and being the support that, you know, your husband needs. And I always say that I am the secret weapon. And what that means is I'm not just being cute. I go in the trenches, right? I get my hands dirty if I have to. You know, I'm with him all the time. I'm not just with him as just, oh, I'm just trying to make him cute. I'm trying to be praying. Praying is number one. He needs my prayer, even as he, you know, pour out his heart to people. He needs somebody alongside to him, which is going to show others that he can do it.
Absolutely. So you will be there to fortify, yes, Pastor Emmanuel.
Yes, secret weapon in ministry.
Secret weapon. I like that. Now, as secret weapon, you might have experienced many challenges as well as many rewards. Tell me about, or tell us about, some of the challenges or rewards you've experienced as a leader.
There are so many challenges that I think any leader faces, right? Whether being the church, whether being any position that you have. One of the things that I try not to do is to focus on those challenges, because as a leader, you can get very depressed and very discouraged when you focus, because people are going to be people, right? You have people that come into the church, and sometimes they come for the wrong reasons. Sometimes they come for the right reasons. And if expectations are not met, then you find yourself in a situation where you're very discouraged, because however your husband feels, you as a supporting figure, you feel that as well. So some of the challenges that we face with is sometimes people leave the church, right? That's a challenge as well, right? Yeah. Because especially when you pour out your heart to people and sometimes they leave for no reason, you question yourself as a leader. Did you do something? Is it something that they needed that you did not give to them? Sometimes that's why you have to be constantly in prayer, so that those thoughts will not overtake the vision, what God has given you.
That sounds a lot like parenting, mm-hmm. just mm-hmm. in general, being parents, where you raise your kids, you give them so much financially, mm-hmm. emotionally, you nurture them, and you expect so many mm-hmm. things from them. And then they're people.
Things happen.
They don't go exactly the way you want. Sometimes they're better off not going the way you want.
Absolutely.
But yes, I was listening to that and going, well, that's a church family, but that's almost like a family at home.
And you get so discouraged. You know, it's, if any, you know, leader says that they have not been discouraged, that's not true. Because we are humans as well, and we have that flesh, in which sometimes when things does happen, we have those emotions. What kept me is God's word. And not only that, part of my profession, I'm a mental health licensed counselor as well. So I've learned to incorporate the two, God's word and also what I have learned as well, to implement it in my whole life. I also try to help the members as well in that capacity as well. And also my husband, who really does sometimes need it. That's why I say that I'm his secret weapon in every area. When he doesn't feel comfortable to speak to someone, he's supposed to come to me as his confidant, yeah, so that I'll be able to pray with him, but give him good word of advice. And so that's why I'm so careful in certain things rubbing on my skin, because I may not be able to give him the advice that he needs. And so I pray. I have to go back to the prayer cycle, because that's what's keeping me pray.
So that's your secret weapon in mm-hmm. overcoming things. When you say you pray, do you like reach out or go through the Bible, the book, and find certain passages that uplift you more than others? Or do you just have spontaneous prayers for the moment?
I think that it's important that as we grow in our Christian life, that we not just adopt our prayer life, we have to do exactly what Jesus did, right? He stepped away from the crowd, and when he stepped away from the crowd, he had a time, a place to do it. So in my time, what I try to do, I pray and I read the word. Because the word is what you have to pray the word, right? You cannot pray the flesh. If you pray the flesh, you might say the wrong things. When Jesus spoke, when the devil tempted Jesus, what he did? He spoke the word, right? So in order, when you talked about if that comprised of the two together, yes, it does. Prayer and the word.
Well, how long did it take you to become grounded in the word where you feel so comfortable?
I think it's a process, you know. It doesn't just happen overnight, you know. Spending time to God is so important. Today I had a women's session and I spoke about, you know, being strategic in 2024, you know. Being strategic in 2024, meaning that you have to have a place and a time. Because you know as well as I do, sometimes the cares of this world, we are so busy with our daily chores, with family, with the work, that we do not set time aside to grow and develop. And that's what I have tried to do over the years. Did it just happen yesterday? No. I had to be strategic about setting time aside just to be by myself so that I can commune with God, so that I can just get the right advice, not just for the church, but for me as an individual.
I was going to ask you about balancing personal life with church life, because there is so much involved. Mm-hmm. But you've given me a whole different perspective on you're supporting your husband, Pastor Emmanuel the First, in your church. But you also have church members that need your support as well, because they're going to all look to you as
Absolutely.
Well. Absolutely. How do you balance all of that?
It can be overwhelming. It can be, right? Because I have my family. I have my work, which I go to. I also have my business as well. And then I have other people calling, right, me as well, that they need help and they need support. What I have learned to do, I have strategized everything, right? And some calls, I have to be honest, I just don't answer. You have empowered your people in the church, right? You have empowered them. You tell them these are the things that need to happen. Some members, they really do need your help. Some members just don't. They just want to talk, right? Let's just be real. Some members just want to talk. But what I try to do is try to feel the heart of the people, which is important, because I might be strong in one area and they might not be strong. And at that very moment, that's when they need our help. So I reach out, I let it go to the voicemail sometimes if I'm busy, and I don't always try to grab onto a phone call if it rings. I let it go and I respond because I have my husband to take care of. I have my own personal business. I also have my son who I have to attend to, and I also have my time in which I need. So sometimes I let it go to the voicemail, and then I respond at a time. If it's not an emergency and I feel that it can wait, it can wait. If I feel it needs my attention right now, I respond immediately because somebody might be dying and they need me. So that's how I strategize.
I imagine, though, right now in the heat of some of the scandals that's happening, though, that it's still tough for church families to keep people from getting too judgmental or even becoming depressed. Because if you're young and seeking and you're just at the precipice of, I believe this, and then something comes to shatter your faith, it takes much more to build that up again. So that's got to be tough for you guys, you and your husband, your team working on this together.
Absolutely. And I think, like, you cannot change people's mind, right? Because once people know something about you, they take it and they run with you. It doesn't matter how much you try to pour some wisdom into them. And sometimes they have make up their mind that they just believe something that's negative. In society, people tend to believe the negative than the positive. If you do go on social media, you'll see all the negative that's out there. A lot of gossip. I try not to even read the gossip. I try not to look at that. Parishioners, you know, we always try, you know, to address issues in the church. That's one of the things that I think churches hide. They don't address issues when it comes up because they never know. Your member might go to a different setting and hear the gossip as well. So you have to address it, and you have to steer them in the right direction and let them know what the Bible say too as well. Because once something, if somebody hears something negative about it, they just run with it.
Now tell us, let's get back to some of your great works, doing things globally and all out in the community. What are some of your initiatives right here in Leon County? Tell us about some of the imitators of God.
I love Leon County, you know that. We have our monthly food pantry, which we have been doing for maybe 10 plus years. And it happens every third Saturday of the month, where we serve like 500 people or more. They come from Ocala County, because we are stationed right on Tremor Road, over Tremor Road. So, you know, we have Leon County, we have Ocala County. And so even people from Jefferson County, as well as Gaston County, come here. And so we do that on a monthly basis. But besides that, we have partners with various organizations, such as Toys for Tots, which we do like, you know, yearly. I would say they just, you know, we distribute like toys. This year, we have distributed like more than 500 toys for kids. And we have sponsored 10 families. I'm talking about not just the child, but the entire family, which we do. We also do the PHI Center, which is the Pregnancy Health and Information Center, where we donate stuff to them. You know, we have young parents coming in, they need guidance. And so we're not just doing it, like I said, in just mouth. We're doing it in action. So we have like the Pampers Drive. We give them money as well in support of their ministry. We donate items to them. We have the Teen Substance Abuse and Choices class. As I said earlier, I am a mental health professional. I am a licensed mental health counselor. And I we teach youth in the community prevention, a safe and supportive environment for them. We just received a grant from Northwest Florida or something. I can't remember the name. So we're not just doing things for our church. I think the building is too small. If we just have to concentrate on that, I think when we have resources, it's supposed to be out there in the community. Right now, we are doing the Stock the Classroom initiative. And what that is all about is we are trying to get books and supplies for youth that need supplies during the school year, socks and stuff. Everybody in Tallahassee is doing back to school drive. And if a child say they do not have a book bag, I don't know what to say. We are trying to do something different, you know.
Yeah.
During the school year where we see somebody's in need, some child doesn't have a, you know, it always happens during the time, the mid school term, when the child doesn't have a shoes or the child doesn't have a socks, or we see that parent that doesn't have
and
money.
It just grew.
It just grew.
Their feet grew.
So we are doing it after the fact. We used to do back-to-school drive, right? We recognize, that's not a good initiative. It doesn't really make sense. So we're doing that after. And we're doing toiletries and socks for the homeless and poor communities. And so we try to do as much as we can so that we can help. I also do, together with my church, but also as my business as well, I try to empower small businesses that need guidance, right? That need some sort of, how can I do it? How can I start my business? How can I train my leaders? So I have all that set up as well, where we try to do as much as possible. This year, what Apostle shared with me, his vision, was that we are going to do some sort of summit at the church. And it doesn't necessarily, when I say the church, it does not necessarily mean at the church. Everywhere we have Tallahassee, look here. Every place that we try to get for the summit is booked. So we have to do it at the church. And so people are restricted sometimes when they hear the church. When they don't want to come because they think you're trying to pull them in the church. It's not about that. We're trying to empower you. We're trying to equip you. We're trying to make you grow as an individual so that you can empower others as well.
Well, that's one of the reasons for the Cup of Glow podcast. It is to connect, unite, and promote people, places, and events in Tallahassee. So we can all learn about what's going on. How many times have you heard someone say, well, I'm going to this event. And you say, what was that? I didn't even know about it. Where did that come from? Or I'm going to go visit this other church. You've never even heard of the church. And it's been there forever and has a mature congregation. But we don't always know everything that's going on around us. So that's my contribution to the community.
And Glow, I just have to say thank you so much, right? Because, you know, it's podcasts like yours that give enlightenment to people that never knew what was happening in the community, right? Because we try to focus so much on those big names out there. And people, I got to have to say, please forgive me. We got to have to stop focusing on the big names out there and start focusing on those that have been empowered as well. Someone might be listening to somebody that they have been listening. They get so tired of that. But your podcast is going to be spread all over, not just Tallahassee, but all over the world. And so even in now, I'm decreeing some things over your life, Glow, in 2024, that you will have your own station, your own place, and that God will excel it in places. Because, you know, the Bible says that you can decree a thing and it will be established. That's what he said to do. So we are decreeing to you, I'm decreeing to you that your business is going to excel beyond what you may even think or imagine. We have to speak life to our businesses, right? And that's why I'm saying that we get so used to those big names that we forget those that are rising, okay?
Well, the big names had to start with one.
Right.
We all start with one.
Right.
Yes, we do. Well, Cheryl?
Yes.
Pastor Cheryl? Apostle Cheryl? First Lady Cheryl? Cheryl Williams, mom, yes. Wife, I don't know what else, congregant, whatever you are, you have given us a lot of information. You've listed so many initiatives. It's amazing. I just can't even imagine when I asked you how you balance personal life with church life, with professional life, and you were just rattling off nonstop. Well, I have my business, and we do. And we do this, and we give out that. And it's just amazing. It's only 24 hours in a day. But I guess you prayed over it, and you found the time, and it's always just the right time.
Amen.
Final question. What is the summit about specifically? Well, it's a final series of questions. When is the summit? And where is it going to be?
Well, currently, Apostle is still putting it together. So he's going to do a summit specifically for leaders, rising leaders, and how they can develop spiritually. And not just spiritually in the faith, but how you can move your business from one level to the next. And so he's going to, we have a lot of speakers in which he is still confirming. And so you will see the flyer very soon once he has confirmed with those particular speakers. Summit is not only going to be about spiritual, you know, the Lord said this, you know, because surely he has put some gifts within us that we can power out to people. But he's going to do that summit specifically for those that want to grow their business, build their business. He's bringing out someone from Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember his name exactly, who he is, but he's bringing out somebody in Atlanta, and he's bringing out one from South Florida, Chris. That's going to help us to propel our business to the next level. I'm going to be one of the speakers as well. A lot of people doesn't know that, but as I said previously, I also, you know, help leaders in the community. I do conferences as well and help them. You can go on my website, Redeeming Lives, redeemingalive.com, and see all the various organizations in which, you know, I help, you know, propel them as well. But he's going to do that summit, and the summit is going to come up for the summer. As far as the place is concerned, I think I mentioned that earlier.
Yeah.
It's so difficult to find places in Tallahassee.
You have to reserve early.
That's what I was told.
I reserved a venue for something I'm putting on in March.
Mm-hmm.
I reserved that space last year.
Mm.
Now, last year, given was only, what, 7 days
yes.
ago, a week ago?
Yeah.
But it was last year... maybe June, no, August.
Mm-hmm.
The person I reserved with had to find a special calendar because they hadn't put it out yet. And I verified everything is on there and I have my documents.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to do it that far out. Consider almost a year or more. Tallahassee's growing.
It is.
But it's still... small.
Right. And so I think one of the places that
maybe that's a business.
Absolutely.
Have a banquet hall or a meeting center.
Yeah, because we have reached out even to the schools. Like TCC is normally one of the places that most people have conferences and they are booked. And so I guess maybe the time, the place, I mean, the time that he's trying to do it.
Maybe.
But indeed, I think that this summit is going to be so uplifting. You know, it's going to be so encouraging. You know, you'll have an opportunity to ask questions. You're going to get, like, you know, pamphlets, booklets on how to do.
How many days is it going to be?
It's going to be 2 days.
2 days? It's 2 full days?
2 full days, and I believe it's going to be free as well, you know.
Okay.
I know a lot of times we charge money for stuff, but sometimes we just don't need to charge no money, right?
Well, you're getting grants, too.
I understand that.
I heard that. That zipped right by.
But not for that particular thing. But, you know, it's important that we help those, and not it's not always about money, you know.
Right.
That's something that we have to get out. Yes, we want money because everything costs, but if the Lord has blessed you, I believe that somebody can come right up to during the conference and say, look, you have blessed me so much. Here's $100 towards that, because they know that everything is money. So while I believe that everything should have a cost, but I also believe in giving my time to people that really need it, you know. And that's what it's all about, helping those in need.
I'm in need. Cheryl Williams, again, thank you so much
thank you
for your
having
time.
Me.
I really appreciate it.